Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Wednesday. And as always, pleased to be joined by a Predators player. And we say hello to Ryan O'Reilly, who joins us now. Ryan, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Let's talk about last night, because I was there. I was watching it. I know you guys didn't get the win, but how would you assess how you guys played against a really good Tampa team?
Well, sorry you had to watch that one. It wasn't a great one. I feel like they played hard, and obviously they're a very good team over there. But we kind of just lacked jump and excitement, and give them credit, they played us hard. But we kind of got away from our identity a bit, and guys were working hard, but it wasn't our cohesive group that, when we do work together, we're making stuff happen. So there's some decent things in there, but in general, we were a little flat, and obviously it was a tough loss.
Did you like the third period though? I feel like there was, you guys definitely came out with some fight in the third.
Yeah, we finally got a little something going. It took a little longer than we'd like, but there started to be that push. We started to kind of just get out of our heads a bit and go. And I feel, when we get in these situations, we're kind of trying to think our way through the game. And then we kind of just feel like, okay, it's time to go. You just see we're a little faster. We're getting pucks back, and we're just kind of getting on them, and then plays are happening. So just, third, we had a push there. We got ourselves back in the game, and there was an opportunity to tie it up, and unfortunately we didn't.
Obviously, not making excuses or anything, but what, last game of a homestand or 82 of these things, and sometimes that's just how it's going to be. You're going to have, unfortunately, times where you come out flat. What would you say causes that, or is it just game by game?
I'd love to have a couple, a few excuses, but it's hard to say. It's the schedule, obviously, we play back-to-back games, but on the weekend and tough, but everyone's going through that too. Every team's in those situations as well. So there's got to be something. There's some things that we can control, that it doesn't matter the situation we're in, that we could be better at. And for myself too, leadership wise, got to take kind of the reins on that and voice that and pull guys along. And for my own game, I don't think it was great last game. I was fighting the puck a lot, and things like that, you can clean up. It puts us in the game and have a chance to win. So we'll be better.
Ryan O'Reilly is with us. I will say I kind of smiled in the third when Phil comes out of the box and immediately scores a goal. I don't think he cracked a smile. Like, he had this look of like, yep, all right, let's go. Let's get this going on his face. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah, obviously that was a massive, massive goal for us. And I think there, a lot of emotion from him in the game and getting to that penalty. And to see him come out and just bury that goal was huge for us and for him. And you could tell he was going to make something happen.
I love that ESPN does the frozen frenzy where every team's playing and, they're doing the staggered start times. But does that kind of affect the routine a little bit when things are, thrown off and not the usual time?
Not really. Like, it was, I think puck drop was close to 7 p.m. too. So it's not that weird of a setup. It could be a little different at times, but for a veteran guy that's been doing this for a while, you're used to sometimes having different starts, and it's not a big challenge, I guess.
So what have you, a lot of the guys have said defensively, you feel like you guys are a lot better. Putting the puck in the back of the net is continuing to be something you guys are working on. What are you seeing that you like, and what are you seeing that you think you guys can continue to improve upon so you can score more?
Yeah, like you've been saying, the defensive side of the game, when we're more on that and competing hard, we're making it much easier for Juice to see the puck. And he's one of the best goalies in the league. And if he sees it, he's going to save it. So it's such an important detail for us of getting guys out of the way, playing fast and keeping these shots at the outside and make it life easier on him. So I've been liking that. When we're doing that, it's keeping us in every game. There's no secret the offensive production isn't there. I know for myself and power play, I've been very frustrated with myself and not being able to kind of create more. And I know the other guys feel the same too. It's, you know, getting these opportunities, and we're not getting a ton of opportunities each game, but still there's, you know, opportunities last night, 4-on-3, and yeah, and lose a face-off, the next one's down, and you're killing time, and you're just mishandling pucks. You know, it's one of those things I feel, you know, in my head a bit, and I'm sure the other guys feel it a bit too. It's, you know, that's got to get some swagger back on there, and it's going to come from working hard and just being engaged, but, you know, if we can get that going, that's gonna help us win hockey games. And it, yeah, it's, you know, myself and a lot of the veteran guys too, that we, you know, we have to find that spark.
You know, though, and it's easy for me to say watching from afar, but I feel like that, you know, like you said, you keep working hard, you keep doing what you need to be doing, that those things are going to come. That's just, it seems like that's how this game works. Do you look at it like that, or is it hard to kind of fight some of the frustration that might be setting in right now?
Yeah, kind of similar to what I said before. You get in your own head about it, and you try to, you can kind of feel the pressure of it, and then you're thinking too much about it, and you know, I feel like it's gripping the stick too tight instead of just engaging, and it's hard to kind of get out of that, because there is, you know, going over the boards, it's just, you know, we're not, you know, we're not a confident group on the power play, and it's, you know, we know it's an issue. We know it's there. It's, like you said, it's getting out of that head and, you know, finding a way just to dive into the details and give the details our, you know, undivided attention, and then we'll get the results. But, you know, it's, you know, when you just want results and want to score goals, that's not really how it happens. You got to, you know, invest in the game the right way and, you know, invest in each other and, you know, for myself, dive in and be better prepared and ready to go.
Ryan O'Reilly is with us. I know it's only been a couple games since he came back from injury, but Nick Hague was a big acquisition this summer by this team. How do you feel like he's fit into your group?
Oh, he's great. He's been awesome for us. You know, the big frame, he moves so well for his size, and he's physical, mean out there, but also has got great hands and makes great plays. You know, he's been looking great for us, and that's tough to do. It's tough, coming to a team and next thing you know, you're out for, I don't know how many weeks, and then have to jump back into, you know, just the whole kind of thing that's going on. But he's handled it very well, and he's an awesome player. He's going to be fun to watch and a big piece of this going forward.
You know, another thing that we talk about with you guys is the mix of veterans and young players. Luke Evangelista, you know, signs his new deal at the end of training camp. I think he's come in and really done a nice job in the 10 games that he has played. I know you obviously see it firsthand, but what's been your thoughts on Luke?
You know, I think he's been great. He's, again, too, that's a, you know, getting in a contract situation like that. I've done it before as well, where, you know, you miss training camp, it can be tough coming in, and then trying to get up to pace. But, you know, I thought after these 10 games, he's starting to find it. He's looking great, obviously, a really nice goal last night. But yeah, he's an unbelievable player. You know, he's got great vision for the game and can make great plays. And it's, you know, I think he's doing great, and it's only going to keep getting better for him.
Philadelphia coming up Thursday night. It's a quick little road trip. Do you like those? Because it's kind of an up and back. You maybe go do dinner with the guys, but you go do that, take care of business, and then you're back in Smashville. Does that make it a little easier?
Yeah. Sometimes nice. It's kind of get out, take a quick breath, and get together with the guys, like you said, have dinner. Get on the road, and then, you know, one quick game, and then we're back home. So it's, it's always nice, you know, especially when it's like a shorter flight, you know, some of these ones, you know, being where we are and, you know, you can have some long trips. So it's kind of nice to just have these one gamers and quick reset, hope, go take care of business there and come back.
Is it a little bit of a challenge because it's a team in the East that you're only going to see twice this year?
No, not really. I think, you know, we don't really look at it too much that way. You know, they're a good team and playing really well at home. We know it's going to be good that way, but, still just getting out of town, getting the kind of guys together a bit more. I feel like at home, everyone's got so much going on with families. So it's just nice to be on the road, get together. It'll be a tough challenge with this team, but, it's what we need, you know, nothing's coming easy for us right now, and we got to be ready for the work, and we will.
Awesome. Ryan, appreciate the time this morning. Safe travels to Philadelphia, and we'll see you back on Saturday.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks so much.
That's Ryan O'Reilly, Preds forward. They're back at it tomorrow against the Philadelphia Flyers, and Adam Vingan will have pregame for you starting at 5 o'clock on Thursday. We'll have more Chase and Big Joe coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.
All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Anywhere but here, that's Roger McCreary, Jarvis Brownlee, any other Titan that can get out of town, anywhere but here. Thanks for Chase and Ryan O'Reilly. Preds back on the ice tomorrow night up in Philadelphia. So, Dr. Crane, are you – so, conversations last night about Ohtani and Guerrero, and I'm telling people – the World Series is tied. Is it 2 games apiece now?
Yes.
So I'm not pitching to Ohtani. I'm walking him. Oh, yeah. Well, the integrity of the game. I'm trying to win. I don't give a damn if he likes it or not. But Guerrero, I mean, he is.
He's a stud.
Good Lord, man. Right? I mean, this is something. Look, I'm not a big baseball fan, but I'm with you. Playoff baseball is pretty damn good.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Vlad Guerrero Jr., he's born and bred to be a baseball player. I mean, when you hang somewhat of a 82, 83 mile an hour sinker is what that was, left it up in the zone, and he took it to the moon and back to left field. I mean, that was crazy to watch. Obviously, Ohtani coming off of that illustrious performance and that 18-inning cinema that they had in Game 3.
Right.
But overall, I think the guy had a little bit of some heavy leg syndrome going on there. Up on the mound, you're pitching, 6 innings or so, give or take. He only had, 2 strikeouts is what it was, something like that.
That's right.
Overall, Vlad Guerrero Jr., it just looked like Toronto was more fresh, if that makes sense. But overall, this is still boding well for the Dodgers going forward.
And then somebody was like, well, I paid all that money, so I want to see Ohtani bet. If I'm a manager, I don't care how much money you paid. I don't really care. I'm trying to win the World Series. So this argument was just frustrating me because I'm like, I'm walking these guys. I'm not letting you beat me. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, after Game 3 of that 18-inning game, John Schneider, the manager, he actually spoke to media and was like, expect us to walk Ohtani more.
Right.
I'm like, I get why, but – I mean, at the same time, everybody paid all their big bucks to watch Ohtani. So that's the contrasting of each side.
I don't care what you spent. Am I missing something here? Because I was in the minority with this argument. Nobody's like, well, you got to go it. But then somebody's like, well, Michael Jordan always played. I'm like, how the hell does that compare to what's going on the World Series right now?
I look at intentionally walking a player, and I saw this on Twitter, but if you had to do a poll, if you had to get rid of one thing,
okay,
the tush push, load management, or intentionally walking somebody, what are you choosing?
I'm getting rid of the tush push.
I like where your head's at. I'd say load management.
I don't even know what that means.
That's basically saying a player's not able to play in the NBA just because they want to keep them healthy for the long run of the season.
That word never existed until 5 years ago.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Just get rid of it now.
God, how soft have we become? By the way, did you see, is it Giannis?
Giannis Antetokounmpo, is that right?
Did you see the 9 steps he took when he dribbled the ball last night? It's like the trending thing on sports.
I did not see this.
He was dribbling a game last night. He was making it to the fast break to the basket. He dribbled once, and I think he took 6 steps. I mean, and they slowed it down. I'm like, are we not – because if we're not calling that in the NBA, I'm going to go to Memphis and sign up for the Grizzlies. I could do that without dribbling.
I mean, I could go watch some church basketball. It's the same thing, right?
And you bring up a good point here. The hardest basketball I've ever played was at the Donaldson Y men over 60. Old men over 60 with socks to their knees will knock the living hell out of you. They'll rebound all day long. They'll trash talk you. They don't care. I won't play with them because I'm like, I'm not doing this.
Compression socks, they change a man. I'll tell you that right now. 62 years old with compression socks, you might as well just be going up against Larry Bird or Michael Jordan.
Your vertical goes from 2 to 4 inches. You just doubled your vertical.
They triple knot their shoes.
And do you play basketball at all?
I used to. Not the best.
When's the last time you played basketball?
Probably 4 years ago. Uh-huh. I had some church courts with some buddies.
Point guard.
Why not, right? No, I actually like to play in the low post.
Do you really?
Yeah, because I'll fake going up and then go up again and get fouled, and it's like automatic 2 shots.
Oh, I like that. That's what when my nickname when I played basketball in junior pro and then the rec league was the launching pad. If I got the ball, I'm shooting. I'm not wasting time. When I coached the Holy Rosary 4th and 5th grade boys team, right, we went 8-5. We had a great team. I said, boys, we got 2 plays. You're shooting and we're rebounding. That's it. That's all we're going to do. I'm not drawing up some immaculate play that's not going to work with nine passes and one kid gets hit in the face and he cries. I'm not doing that.
I had a wonderful friend, John Hardesty. God rest his soul. He died of cancer, but he was a phenomenal basketball coach. And he was coaching third and fourth grade girls. He always said, the paint is Barbie's house. Don't let nobody in Barbie's house. Sure, to this day, it still rings true. Nobody's let in Barbie's house.
Oh, I like that. You know what I had my inbound play was? I'm not kidding you. So I'd line off at inbound guy, and I'd line four up on straight down the free throw line or on the whatever, the where you line up there on the under the basket. Four of them. And so I'd make the first three. He'd hit the ball. He would say, tomato. The first three would fall down, right? And the guy throwing the ball would go one, two, and the last guy would go around. So if you have a guy fall down in front of you, what do you stare at him, right? So the fourth guy would go into the paint. He'd bounce past it to him, and he'd make a two. It worked every single time. My guys were great, man. They would just fall down, right? And the one guy who didn't fall down one time was my son because he didn't want to get back up. I'm like, you have to fall down on the ground. I'll do that. It worked every time. So if you need me to coach your high school basketball team, you know where we could be found.
There are a few openings.
Do you help me be an assistant?
Sure.
All right.
At least as long as you don't pull your best Bob Knight impersonation. That's all.
That's energy. By the way, that would not work today at all.
You sure?
Well, remember the Rutgers women's coach? Wasn't she or he, what was it, that was yelling at people and throwing basketballs at their face and everything?
I've never heard of this.
Oh, you should look. It was like 2013 or 14. SNL did a great skit with Melissa McCarthy. Great skit where she was the women's basketball coach. I think it was at Rutgers. And they were like launching basketballs at kids' head. I mean, it was awful. And that person got fired. So basketball 101 with Big Joe. If you need that, we got you covered. All right, time for another break, right?
Sure.
All right, we're on the break here. DVD's coming your way at 3 o'clock today. Don't forget MTSU football tonight. You can hear it on Total Hits 93.3 starting at 5 o'clock with the pregame show with Dick Palmer and J.P. Plant. And then Chip and I take over at 6 as MTSU takes on Jacksonville State tonight down in Murfreesboro. So we'll come back with more. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Is that the video is about a phone booth, right? What's the song?
It just has here on the hotkeys is Tribe.
Okay, I don't know that. But I like the video, London or New Orleans or something like that, late 90s, early 2000s. Let's welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game. Revisit our question of the day, which was, what with the weather being so bad, what's the worst sporting event weather-wise you ever sat through? Dr. Crane, do you have one? Your trip to LSU to see Mississippi State, and they threw you in the back of a SUV for 10 hours.
Toyota Sequoia?
No.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
At the time, it was a fun trip, man. I try not to relive that in my brain as much anymore. But, yeah, it was a decent trip. Fun LSU game to go to watch Mississippi State. They lost. But I think it was one of Dan Mullen's last years at LSU. Mississippi State, excuse me.
Did y'all drive down and drive back after the game?
The next day, yes.
You're nuts.
Yeah. But on the way back, it was a little easier because the seats were down. There was not a lot of luggage. They brought luggage down for family and all that. So
again, on our text line, 615-737-1025. A lot of great responses today. What's the worst sporting event weather-wise you've ever sat through? Anthony said, any Bengals playoff game for more than one reason. Also, the Chargers Christmas game, maybe 2010-ish here in town. Yes, that was very, very cold as well. More than have weighed in here. This is one interesting. 2518 says the worst condition was I was at the World Horseshoe Throwing Competition in South Dakota in 1993. Boring sport. It rained, it stormed, and there were the ugliest drunk women ever. So I'm not going to. I need to know what 2518. I need to know what time of year this would be. Because I'm not going to South Dakota. I've been there once. It's beautiful. But I'm not going November, December, January, February, March, April. I'm not going to South Dakota.
I feel like South Dakota is a fun place to go to.
Did it? You ever been to Mount Rushmore?
No, I haven't.
It's in South Dakota.
Would like to go.
Well, maybe we could arrange that here on the Chase and Big Joe Show.
Is that so?
Maybe we could. We have a big announcement Monday. We're heading out of town in 11 days? 11 days, right?
11 days, yeah.
So, yeah, that's the worst sporting event of all time. What's weather-wise, you haven't brought the worst weather-wise. What's yours?
Yeah, I would probably say 2009 Titans-Ravens AFC wild card game. That was a very, very cold game. I think that was the correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but was that the game Ray Lewis tried to break Chris Johnson's ankle?
Somebody did, yes. 2008, yes.
That game was low scoring. It was super cold. I think it was like 13-10. They were on the last drive. Kerry Collins was driving down the field.
Yep.
I remember standing on my seat as like an 8-year-old. And then, yeah, they ended up losing.
Somebody said that song you played was, Lisa, thank you, Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed. I don't know if that's happening. So, hey, you guys back there, this is a show. No more goofing off. So, Nashville SC came by earlier, and they dropped off a bullhorn. And now the children here at Cromwell Media are playing with the bullhorn, and they just scared Dr. Crane.
I'm petrified.
Don't be petrified.
Holy cow.
Don't be. So when you, what's the worst what? So 2008 playoff game.
Yes, 2008 playoff game, Ravens versus Titans, here at Nissan Stadium, actually. So that was.
Do you know who caught the first touchdown in that playoff game?
2009. Was it a tight end?
It will be. He'll be here in about 20 minutes.
Derek Mason. Mason. That's crazy.
He caught the first. Joe Flacco threw like an 80-yard pass to him, and he caught a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. The Ravens went up. And
I'm sorry. I'm so flustered right now, Joe. I apologize.
I apologize for that.
Mike Morgan was here earlier. He had the middle mic, and he moved it over.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see what I did there.
Yeah, Mike on the middle mic.
Yeah, I apologize, but it was right there.
Where's Ryan O'Reilly?
He's on a plane.
They already did a plane? How would your talk go today, by the way?
You just aired it, so it was good.
I know, but how did your TED talk at the Rayon City Whataburger?
It was a Fred talk. It was good. It was good, yeah. Appreciate Mike Morgan for filling in for me while I did that.
So. Yeah, we like Mike around here.
Yeah, we do.
Well, we're ordered by the courts that when you're off, he's got to come in and do this.
Yeah, I get that.
What was your topic during your talk today at Whataburger in Rayon City?
How to scare a producer with a bullhorn.
It worked too, right?
Successful.
How to find yourself.
Again, Chase is going to have
Good job, Nick.
He's going to have a bunch of sticky notes on his door, dry cleaning for Dr. Crane, week of here, week of there.
Well, what was funny is I walk out in the hallway and nobody's working, I guess. So Connor Newt and David Janes and Brandon Bigsby are all standing around and I'm holding that and I go, hey, I'm going to go scare Frazier. I'll be right back.
You could have just whispered boo in his ear and he'd jump.
And I was
feet.
Wondering if you saw me.
I just saw y'all lollygagging back
yeah,
there. Yeah,
and I like literally like just because it has a siren, and that's what – and I just see him jump.
He did. When does Nashville SC play again?
They play Saturday at 6:30 here at Geodis Park.
Is that a make or break?
That is a make or break game, so they have to win. And it's a best of three, so if they win that game, they go back to Fort Lauderdale the Saturday, be November the 8th.
I thought this soccer team was good.
I mean, they are. It's just – it's Lionel Messi and Inter Miami.
I feel like they started off really hot and then was the whatever it's called cup
U.S. Open Cup.
The U.S. Open Cup kind of the peak.
You could kind of say it was. I was talking this with Corey earlier that this team the way they're constructed, they wanted to implement a player in Brian Acosta who missed, I'd say, 25% of the first half of the season in a roundabout way. He just to me wasn't fit. And he still is kind of that way right now. Doesn't have everything you need in a midfielder. But they used him primarily so they could save the legs for this game.
So they put all their energy in a cup that doesn't mean anything for the most part?
It does mean something.
Does it mean – what's more important, MLS or that cup?
It does mean more,
Joe. Look, what's more winning a championship in soccer in any aspect or facet of the game
– disagree.
Really? Well, I see – again,
what's more important? I see what he's saying.
I'm not trying to separate soccer from American sports.
No, what you're doing is you're comparing winning the AAA baseball title to the World Series.
But this isn't AAA baseball.
No, it's
it's not the award.
But no, okay. Here's the thing. This is where I'm kind of in the middle on this. But soccer is a unique sport that has multiple championships within one season.
Which is stupid.
So it does mean something, and it counts. But I'm also with Joe of, don't you want to have all your horses to win your league's championship?
Here's a question on whether it's important or not.
Sure.
Are we having a parade for that cup? Or are we having a parade for the MLS?
I think they had a parade.
No, they had a little celebration over there. I'm talking a parade.
Yeah.
Like downtown. We having it for your little Dixie Cup trophy? Or are we having it for the MLS?
Dixie
what
Cup.
Are we having? Which parade are we having?
Yeah, you make a great point there,
I make the only point. We need to have a meeting after the show.
Okay.
Do you mind?
Dr. Crane, please report to my office.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I mean, have you listened to any of Chase's TED Talks?
I have.
It talks about empowering yourself.
Have you ever walked into his office on the wall, all those plaques? I'm telling you. Microsoft Office Cloud Storage, his Interlink or LinkedIn, whatever you want to call it.
Interlink.
LinkedIn certification. This guy has
it. Isn't that a dating app?
LinkedIn Interlink. Cloud Architecture Award. Guy's one of the top ones in the country doing that.
I mean, look at him. He's wearing the nice jacket today. He's feeling it.
We've almost made it 3 hours without talking anything about the football team that plays professionally here in town, which I love it, so we're not going to bring it up. We're going to see if we can get a whole show
Losers.
About it. Whole show Sorry. Without doing that, we could do that and get it done.
You should have never given me this.
Why did you give the book? That's your bullhorn.
Yeah, I know, but I just the boss man. Let him enjoy it for a little bit.
Do you know what the national
scare you,
Chase? What's the National SC's mascot's name?
Tempo.
Attaboy.
Took Mike Organ a little bit.
Yeah, and so we had to play match game. I'm like, describe Tennessee's Josh offense. Heupel's offense. He's like, up tempo. I'm like, you got it, tempo. You got it done.
Tempo.
All right, are you doing
Nash.
Celebrity birthdays?
No.
Okay. All right, who's back in there? David James, our birthday guy. Oh, Connor, shut up. David James. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Celebrity birthdays, America's most popular segment. David James, he's a esteemed producer of DVD, is going to sit in with us. That's all next. Really, thanks for all the participation today on our text line for the worst sporting event weather-wise you've ever been to. I tell people, our listeners are the absolute best. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Back with more right here. This is 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Thank you, Tracy Bird. A little 90s country for you. Dr. Crane sent me this thing about comparing Cam Moore to Johnny Manziel. I really don't want to read this because when you see this, it's worse than you possibly thought for Cam. Damn it, we were going to talk Titans today because
they're
sad. Terrible.
I'm sorry.
So Cam Moore's been sacked 34 times already?
Unfortunately, so yes.
So you double that. I mean, that's 68 plus an extra game. Oh, goodness. That's awful. Man, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Don't forget the big event happening at Bar Lines tonight, Songwriter Night. It's free. 5 o'clock. Head down there and see. You got Valet Park, and it's a great time, and it's free. David James is going to do celebrity birthdays with us. David, this is something that we don't let people do a lot.
I know.
And you get to do this.
I am honored to have the opportunity to do this again. I feel very special right now.
You're terrible when you do it, but there's always
No. I'm not terrible. I won four straight like a couple of times ago.
Oh, okay.
Six games ago, I'm like 4-2 the last six times I've done
it. Yeah, this is pretty accurate.
With me being here?
Not with you being here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. They're not It's a different story. But still,
it's like,
though.
It's like the B team going 10-0. Nobody cares.
Hey, but
I'm still 4-2. That's all.
The boss
happy.
Shows up. It is what it is.
I mean, yeah.
All right, without any further ado, hit it.
All right, first on the list, we have International Internet Day. So shout out to those that use those servers.
Shout out to the internet.
National Cat Day. So there's
Who's the coolest cat around? Sammy Davis, baby.
You're right. Felix the cat. National Hermit Day is today, so if you like being at home, be at home. National Oatmeal Day, Joe's favorite.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
World Stroke Day and
– Excuse me?
World Stroke Day. You know, like
– I got it.
Like a golf stroke, yeah.
No, like someone like has physical ailment.
Family show.
Yeah.
All right, the last one I cannot pronounce, so we'll just continue.
No, we're going to pronounce those.
World – I'll spell it out. I feel like it's – Is that cirrhosis? No, that's not cirrhosis. That's different.
Spell it.
P-S-O-R-I-A-S-I-S.
Psoriasis.
Psoriasis. That's
I don't know what it means, but I can pronounce it.
World psoriasis.
All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these birthdays within two. David James will go first.
Okay.
How old? Have you ever heard of the actor Richard Dreyfuss?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
What name of movie he's been in?
I don't know the movie. I've heard the name for.
Jaws. How old is Richard? By the way, we got into an argument, Richard Dreyfuss and I, one time. I had to call him a cab when I was a valet parker, and he got in the cab, and I said, you guys won't laugh, but it's funny. I said, Richard, looks like we need a bigger cab. Because the joke in Jaws is, looks like we need a bigger boat. Okay. All right, I got to make things about myself.
That was funny, yeah.
Thank you. All right, how old is Richard Dreyfuss today?
He is 72.
72.
67.
78, both were on there. Dr. Crane, you go now. How old is Winona Ryder?
77.
I'm going to go 68.
54. Oh, I love it when you guys are so far off.
That's the best, right? That's the thing to do, right?
Right. How old is Gabrielle Union? Is she married to... Oh, she's married to Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne, yeah.
Okay.
She is... Oh, it's my turn. 42.
Yep. 46.
53. Good Lord. The great singer, actress, Melba Moore. How old is she?
Melba. Is it my turn or is it Nick?
It's Nick. Sorry. Okay.
Melba is 50.
I'm going 58.
Names, first names oftentimes give away.
Yeah, I get that, but I don't know.
So
I,
Melba Moore is 80.
Okay.
David James, you go. Charlie's Angels, Kate Jackson. How old is she?
Kate Jackson is 63.
60.
77.
Oh.
Dr. Crane, you go. Dan Castellaneta, he does the voice of Homer on The Simpsons. Annetta. Sorry, Dan Castellaneta. How old is he?
73.
80.
68.
That's not good.
David James. Singer Randy Jackson of the Jackson 5. How old is he?
Randy Jackson, he is, 75.
Now, where is he in ranking of all the Jacksons?
He's one of them.
Well, I know, but is he the youngest or the oldest?
He's in the middle.
He's not the youngest.
Okay,
I know that.
I'm going to go 57.
64. Dr. Crane, you go here. Now, how old is Diana Ross's daughter, the very beautiful Tracy Ellis Ross? She's on the TV show Blackish. Dr. Crane?
I'm going with 43.
She is, 44.
God, you guys are terrible. 53. get some more here to go here. All right, let's go to sports birthdays.
Defensive battle.
David James, you go. Hockey player Dennis Potvin. How old is Dennis Potvin?
Big Dennis Potvin fan. That's a joke. Sorry. He is 45.
50.
72. All right, we're down to the last three birthdays. We've never had zeros across the board, and I'm loving every bit of this. Dr. Crane, you go. Former NBA, University of Tennessee pitcher, Cy Young Award winner, R.A. Dickey. How old is R.A. Dickey today?
Montgomery Bell guy, too.
That's what I just said.
Did you say that?
God, you listen about as well as Chase does.
I thought you said
does.
Just University
I can't hear
Tennessee.
That well. Deaf in my left ear, I think.
NBA, UT,
R.A. Dickey. Okay. R.A. Dickey is 59.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 63.
It's 41.
Oh.
All right, Dave, we got two left. David James, Maurice Claret, former Ohio State running back who screwed up and tried to go to the pros too early and didn't do anything.
Yes, I believe he is 45.
53.
42. You were so close. Gosh, it's zeros. Whoever gets this one wins. Dr. Crane, you go. How old today is the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, Carolina Panthers quarterback, who's been in the league since 1970?
I know this.
Dr. Crane, you go.
38.
36.
At the buzzer, Dr. Crane, the Red Rocket is 38 years old.
Only takes one.
It only takes one. You're right. You won 2-0. The worst, best game we've ever done.
You're welcome.
I'm disappointed in myself. That was on me.
I mean, you get a point, obviously. I mean, it's 2-1, but still, I mean, that's
it's fine. Hey, it's all good. Congratulations, Nick. You
Thank
did a really
you.
Good job.
Much appreciated. Hey,
Nick, you haven't won celebrity birthdays in no telling how long.
That's back-to-back days. I don't know where your ears are at either, Joe.
Right.
He's beating me twice, yeah, and then you won yesterday.
Well, you did win.
Yeah.
But you haven't won it so long, I almost forget about
that's
that.
It's okay.
David, who's coming on DVD today?
So we have Jonathan Hutton at 5, and we have Silly Underdog Picks at 5:30.
Love Silly Underdog Picks. I'd love to be part of that one. Yeah, I love it. How do you manage 19 phone calls during all that?
You know, it's a little difficult, but you know, as long as I try my best, that's all I ask for.
You're good. David James, producer of DVD, coming up next. Love you guys. Love the show. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Dr. Crane, thank you. As we leave the show every day to our guys out there, if you are struggling, I just ask you to talk to somebody. It does a world of good. It saved my life talking to somebody, and I want it for you. I tell you all the time, I cannot celebrate my success unless I get to celebrate your success. I want to go to your comeback party. That's how important you are to us. You're valuable to us. Our world's a better place because you are here. Please find the gratitude. You can find it. We're always here for you if you need to reach out. Grateful for all the men who've reached out to us in the last 2 years. We love you guys. And more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you. DVD's next.